Chevron has been in Nigeria for decades, working closely with the Nigerian government to exploit oil resources and laying waste to the Niger Delta. Their exploration, extraction, and refining of petroleum have polluted drinking water and ruined farmlands and fisheries. One of the Niger Delta communities severely affected is the Alaje tribe. Munde Omoshaya, a member of the Alaje, says his people have faced dire conditions.
After the activities of the oil company, you have to journey 20, 15 kilometers or more to have your fresh water. To some people, it's almost the whole day journey, 12 hours or more. We have a heavy rainfall during some months. But because the gas flaring in the area, we even drink acid rain. It is dangerous because most of the time we have a kind of rain that is as black colored. So, till today, no potable drinking water in the environment.
Activist Suwanu Bere grew up as an Ogoni villager in the Niger Delta. He says the Ogoni experienced the same conditions, the same struggles as the Ilaje.
When Shell and Chevron come into the land, start drain oil, having toxins, pollution, everything we plan, it did not grow up or yield any fruit for us. I noticed this in 1980, and the pollution killed a lot of fish. Oil bursting at several times and flow on the ground, flow on the water, flow and everything. Our yams, our fruit, our coconut tree get dying. You see them dying off because of a lot of toxins and gas flowing around. And people were getting sick. Some people have asthma, diabetes, cancer, all sort of sickness. And mostly we don't have hospital that we use to cure ourselves. So my people are living with a lot of things, poverty, no food.
The Ilaje, the Ogoni, and other communities have struggled to bring Chevron to a bargaining table. They've asked for environmental cleanup, drinkable water, jobs, infrastructure, and basic education from the oil giant. But they've received no cooperation, says Omoshaya.
When I was representing the community, Chevron will make promises upon promises, like provision of potable water, as a social responsibility from a company who is benefiting huge amount of money from the business. They have the moral and social responsibility of, let's do this thing for these people to make life better for them. So they promise they will give us water, potable water. Throughout my tenure of 2 years in office, they did not. They promise they will do other things that will help alleviate the situation people experience. They did not.
In the 1990s, activist Ken Sarawiwa's movement for the rights of the Ogoni people in the Niger Delta, or MOSAP, took root among other villages and tribes. When the Nigerian government announced it would build a pipeline from Ogoni land to northern Nigeria, over 500,000 Nigerians turned out for a peaceful protest. Suwanu Bere was one of those protesters.
That's where the president organized his military come and kill and destroy Ogoni land. And they start killing, burning houses, raping, torturing people, arresting people, people who was thrown inside the well, the little baby, mothers with pregnancy, they dump them into the well. The one they shot or the one they capture, they throw them into the well. And I was arrested, taken to their detention camp. And I was badly tortured. I was at the point of death.
In 1998, inspired by the growing grassroots activism in the Niger Delta, the Ilaje tribe organized a nonviolent takeover of a Chevron oil drilling platform. While the Ilaje negotiated in good faith, the Nigerian mobile police, well known as the Kill and Go, landed on the platform in Chevron company helicopters. They detained, tortured, and killed many of the Ilaje there. Earth Rights International joined forces with other NGOs to help the Ilaje bring criminal charges against Chevron for the violence on the oil platform. In 2008, their landmark case, Bowoto versus Chevron, invoked the authority of the Alien Torts Statute, or ATS, which allowed plaintiffs to sue multinational corporations for human rights abuses. Law student and journalist Scott Gilmore kept a blog on the Bowoto versus Chevron trial. Gilmore saw the trial as a watershed event.
This is only the second Alien Tort Statute case against a multinational corporation to actually make it to a jury trial. So I wanted to document fairly faithfully what strategies were being used by the defense, by the plaintiffs. I think the defense had a twofold strategy. First, to deny that they had any intent to do harm when they engaged, when they hired Nigerian military personnel, the Kill and Go mobile police, Nigerian Navy, various armed forces, which are, you know, documents show are on Chevron's payroll. They were fed, they were housed, they were transported in company helicopters. Chevron made the claim that they did not, first of all, intend any harm. They didn't intend the armed forces to use lethal force. They didn't intend them to necessarily commit torture, illegal detention, any of the claims. And they also claimed that they had no knowledge that this would occur. Now, the plaintiffs countered that how could they not know that the Kill and Go mobile police, who have a notorious human rights record, who even in some of Chevron's internal memorandums and emails had described the Kill and Go as notoriously violent, as a threat even to Chevron personnel. How could they not know? I mean, with the well-documented history of human rights abuses in Nigeria.
The jury for the Bowoto versus Chevron trial absolved Chevron of any blame for what happened on the oil platform in 1998. But the plaintiffs have been working on an appeal, and Scott Gilmore sees progress.
There are other major cases pending. The settlements, such as in Dovi Unocal, these are very important settlements. And also the nine-year history of motions that have gone into Bowoto v. Chevron have done a lot to really cement the use of the Alien Tort Claims Act in case law.
The ATS, or Alien Torts Statute, has been the basis of most human rights litigation against multinational corporations in the past 40 years. But recently, a U.S. court held that corporations cannot be sued under the ATS. That landmark ruling may make it more difficult to use the ATS against international corporate crime. But many recent legal challenges to international corporate power have written new legal precedent. In Burma, Chevron settled a lawsuit and compensated villagers for human rights abuses. In Ecuador, an independent investigator ordered Chevron to pay $27 billion to the Amazonian people. And in Nigeria, a high court ordered Shell to pay $100 million to a Niger Delta community for a 1970 oil spill. And through the efforts of environmental NGOs like Earth Justice, Exxon has had to write hefty checks for the Exxon Valdez spill in Alaska's Prince William Sound. Patty Goldman, Vice President of Litigation with Earth Justice, played a role in forcing Exxon to write those checks.
Exxon Valdez, the checks were finally written, but the last checks were 20 years later. It really was dragged out in the courts. The parts that were resolved quickly were the government penalties and the natural resource damages claims, because the government settled those. They wanted some certainty. They wanted to get the money to start the activities. Some people would say they lowballed it in order to get money more quickly. That's going to be a big concern down in the Gulf. That was being paid slowly over time, unfortunately, after a lot of the people who were harmed had died or lost their businesses.
Patty Goldman says that long-term damages will be the most difficult to determine and to recoup from the BP Gulf oil spill.
There are laws that were passed after Exxon Valdez that create absolute liability on BP's part to pay for containing, removing the oil, cleanup, and the harm to people, like for tourism, fishing, economic harm, direct economic harm. What's going to be really difficult is chronic illnesses, long-term illnesses or symptoms that come out of this, particularly because of this push to settle fast. And that's where the system is likely going to fall short. So we will be playing a role to try to get maximum access and public participation in that process and to make sure that BP and the governments don't settle too cheap, don't settle for the short term and certainty without really accounting for the long term harm that we fear we will see.
Earth Justice and other NGOs are using legal methods to try to mitigate that harm. They brought a lawsuit against the government for not enforcing regulations on blowout scenarios for offshore drilling. Earth Justice also filed Freedom of Information requests to get the secret ingredients of the dispersant Corexit, which BP poured into the Gulf by the millions of tons. They want to ensure that BP doesn't slip through the legal nets.
I think the first difficulty is that you are up against an entity with tremendous resources and an entity that is motivated by short-term economic goals. And that is really difficult when you have nonprofit lawyers who don't have those resources. We have a lot of heart, a lot of smarts. We work hard, but we don't have the whole law firms, you know, or a floor of a law firm to throw at a piece of litigation. So that is very tricky. And their goal then is to drag it out. And their lawyers are motivated to do that because their lawyers are paid by the hour. They're not paid to settle. They're paid to drag it out so they get more billable hours and they support their law firms. So the incentives are all against us. We want to be heard. We want to get information to prove our case. And we want decisions. We want them enforced. All of the incentives on their side are the opposite.
That's where public pressure and citizen action come into play, lending power and credibility to groups like Earth Justice. And the victims of big oil are using media to speak their truth to corporate power, calling for help from grassroots activists all over the world. One of those victims is Ola Oyimbo of the Ilaje, a Bowoto versus Chevron plaintiff whose husband was tortured to death by Nigeria's Kill and Go police.
My husband was one of the peaceful protesters on the Chevron oil platform back in May of 1998. My husband was detained and tortured during the protest. He was hanged. He was tortured so much that he got sick and it led to his death. Since my husband died, I've been suffering all alone, taking care of the kids he left behind. I want the American people to help us bring Chevron to justice, to help us curb Chevron's misconduct in Niger Delta. I want the American people to do whatever they can to bring justice on those who are committing injustice.
For Making Contact, I'm Lynn Feinerman.